Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Crowd of Idea Dudes, and in this show we're going to discuss proactive management. Who am I? Well, I've been working in the industry for over 23 years. I've trained several branches of the government and the military, including the United States Air Force, Marines, Navy, Army. If you want to know more about me, check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions or comments, put them in the question comment box at the bottom of this radio broadcast. Let's get started. Planning is sometimes the one thing that's overlooked in an IT industry. We fly by the seat of our pants, putting out fires left and right. We keep implementing new servers and new technologies to help further our company's ability to staying competitive. But planning is very important. IS7O has some tools to help you create a proactive plan. So one of the things that we can use is auditing. And why audit IS logs? Well, IS7O logs request details that contain valuable troubleshooting information, such as web content view, what websites are they looking at, IP address of the client that we can use for doing skip tracing, going back and looking at the where they're coming from, especially if there's been an attack of some sort. Browser type, very important, because say you have a Google Chrome, or you have Firefox, or some of the other types of browsers, and the content that you have on your website is not working. Well, we need to understand why it's not working, and we can do an overview of our different clients to see what your browsers are using so we can make updates. And there's so much more that we can use the IIS logs for. Now, so some of the different tasks that we're going to do when we're looking at doing proactive management is we can disable HTTP friendly error messages in the Internet Explorer. And we use this for developers' purposes. Generating a custom HTTP request, we can get more information. We can check basic request functionality, browsing with different host name styles, using substatus and Win32 errors and the W3C extended logging. We can also configure the WW service to log worker process recycling events. Checking the Windows and application logs. Checking the HTTP error and IIS logs. And restarting the IIS server. These are different tasks that we can do to troubleshoot our server. But being proactive, meaning what we're doing is putting a plan in place. That's where we can use like the worker processing logging events, some of the other information that we can track in our Windows and application logs. So how does the tracing infrastructure work? Well, IS7O has a built-in diagnostic and tracing support, and we have a consumer module, which what it does is it registers a GL_trace_event. And what happens is you have the consumer, which is going into process, passes in a trace configuration. The pipeline module, what it does is it reads a configuration and raises a trace event. This event is then put into a trace log and delivered to the consumer. So the consumer being the process, and the consumer handles the event. So one of the things that we may need to do is monitor critical events. And when would you want to do this? Well, you use a default login, capture minimum data about the occurrence of critical errors. So what you do is you set up tracing rules to capture details about the frequent errors as they're needed. And you use more aggressive monitoring and testing in early development. Because during the testing and early development, we want to find out everything that's going wrong with that application so that we don't have to go out and troubleshoot it. We want to be proactive in this. A failed request tracing also is designed to buffer the trace events for a request and only flush them to the disk if the request fails. And then also, where there's a definition is going to be provided, that we can go into this failed trace log and see where things are failing. So we can add a failed request tracing rule. You add it using a failed request tracing rule wizard, which you'll find in your IIS part of your configuration. You choose the error conditions and you choose the module. And how much information do you want? How verbose of information, how much information do you want to collect? To configure a failed request tracing rule, we just use the specific error numbers and ranges such as 500, 504. Maybe we're looking at 404, 401, 403. Choose the relevant modules, ASP.NET, or is it CGI, or is it ISAPI? And specify the minimum amount of data that's needed. So you can determine how much information that you want to capture. But the more information you capture in the very beginning is going to give you a proactive plan to combat against things that could happen in the future. The other thing that we can do, though, is to also be proactive is to configure selective logging and enable per site logging. We can also enable it for the application. And what we can do is we can choose what we want to log because we don't want to have an overabundance of information. Because if we have logging overload, just like you have the commercials for Bing where they come up with so much information, you have to have a decision. And you won't be able to make a decision because you'll have too much information in front of you. So what are the scenarios for selective logging? Well, that includes detailed logging per application, not the entire site. You can also look at beta applications. When you implement a new process into your IIS server, you need to be very scrutinous about the logging of that application so we can capture all the things that could happen. Because again, when Murphy gets a hold of it, anything that can happen will happen, and you need to keep that in mind. Troubleshooting problems specific to a single application is another scenario for selective logging. So what are the best practices for logging? Is conserve disk space. So you can recycle log automatically. One of the things that we can do to decrease the impact on the server is log only necessary data and also write this logs out to a separate physical disk. And also you need to secure your log files because this is going to have confidential information. So you can assign permissions per application. So some of the different errors and some of the descriptions of these errors that we need to look at. Say you get a 401.1 denied by invalid user credentials. Well, what happened here is IIS failed to obtain the NT user token with which to execute the request. 401.2 denied by server configuration. This error indicated the web server is configured to require certain authentication protocols for the communications. And what happened is the browser failed to use any of those authentications. Say you get a 401.3 denied by resource ACL. What this indicates is the web server was able to authenticate and obtain some NT user token to process the HTTP request, but the user token lacks the file system access control list to access the requested resource. What about a 401.4 denied by a custom ISAPI filter? What happens here is that we have an ISAPI filter is running. It gives some information back that a 401 response of some sort. And the same thing as with the 405 denied custom ISAPI and CGI web applications, pretty much the same thing. So when we have some of these errors that are popping up, we have clients that are coming up and they're saying, oh, I keep getting a 401.1 error. Well, what is it? Well, in this case, what it is a user supplied incorrect user name and password. Also, it could be the application pool identity. Remember, there's a account that's connected with the application pool. And this could cause issues when we're trying to access information. Anonymous authentication configuration also. What about a 401.2? Browser issued with an integrated Windows authentication, or we could have an intervening proxy server. And then a 401.3. We just have the wrong access control list. We just didn't put the right information in for somebody to be able to have access to our content on the IIS server. Now, one of the things that we can do is we can implement trace logging. And to be able to do this, it will allow you to be able to further troubleshoot authentication and authorization errors. And you can use tracing to find an identity that is failing and identify the resources that cannot be accessed. So hopefully we've given you a lot of different tips that can help you to be more proactive in your IS7O management. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Michael Kraut. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for joining us today, for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. As always, have a great day, and bye-bye for now.